Hello, and welcome to week two of my home study program, Taming the Sugar Shrew. This course is designed so that you will learn about the root causes of sugar cravings and get the tools and actionable steps you need so that you can start taking control of your own health and well-being. You'll also get some tips to help you deal with mindset issues, which may be holding you back from reaching your goals. Along with the audio, you'll be provided with handouts and recipes that are relevant to the topics that we're going to discuss. You'll also receive week-by-week instructions on how to carry out a sugar cleanse if you choose to take this program to the next level. And a great way to do that is to follow the sugar cleanse with a buddy to do it with you. You get a lot of support that way. So sugar is an addictive substance, just like caffeine and alcohol. And getting off sugar is not just a matter of restraint and willpower. There are underlying physical and emotional reasons behind the addiction. I will show you these causes and guide you through ways to counter them. In this module, you can expect to learn ways to gain sustained energy without the ups and downs caused by sugar, how to use the right kind of food to curb your sugar cravings, and how to understand food labels so that you can spot the hidden sugars in packaged foods and get information on various sugar substitutes as well as their pros and cons. We're also going to talk about the yin-yang balance, the relationship between energy levels, stress, and sugar cravings, as well as how nutritional deficiency can lead to cravings. And a lot of the work that I do with my clients, sugar is usually the main culprit for many of their health issues, including weight gain, fatigue, emotional imbalance, as well as brain fog. In this class, you will learn how to break the vicious, addictive cycle we have created by eating processed sugar, feeling the rush and crashing, and then eating more sugar, hoping for a quick pick-me-up, which starts the vicious cycle all over again. So in my practice, I help my clients by building a healthy, balanced diet, nourishing themselves with the right foods, and making appropriate lifestyle adjustments so that they don't need a big sugar hit from a candy bar or soda to boost their energy. Excuse me. And this is something that we'll touch on in our next module coming up on energy and vitality. Okay, so now back to sugar. So I have had my own struggles with sugar, and it's always a work in progress, especially around the holidays. Excuse me. I'm so thankful for running into a health coach 3 years ago when I did, because I thought I was doing the right things, but as it turns out, I didn't really have a clue. I was following the USDA guidelines, and I ate 6 to 10 servings of bread, pasta, cereal, rice, potatoes, and packaged convenience foods, like frozen meals, burritos, etc. I only occasionally ate fast food, but I did eat fat-free mayo, fat-free dressing, skim milk, and I stayed away from nuts and avocados for fear of all the fat. We grew up with this mantra that fat was bad, eggs are full of dangerous cholesterol, and skim milk is the way to go. Our foods are so denatured today and lacking in crucial enzymes, vitamins, and minerals, and we're eating on the go and buying meat from the grocery store that is from feedlots where animals are fed genetically modified corn silage, soy products, antibiotics, and even added hormones. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. It's happening everywhere, and millions of people are eating this way every day. The average American is consuming 150 to 170 pounds of sugar every year. And that equates to 3.5 pounds of sugar per week. And by contrast, in the early 1700s, Americans ate 4 pounds of sugar per year. The foods we consume affect our cells and our hormones, which drives every single function in our body. The nutrients in our foods can either strengthen or weaken our cells, which determines the health of our body as a whole. Our food provides the building blocks for our skin, hair, nails, and teeth, the food and superfoods your body actually uses to create a beautifully radiant, healthy body may surprise you. And I'll give you a hint. Those foods are not on the standard American diet. But I digress. Back to sugar. Okay. Excuse me. Because I was eating fat-free everything, I was consuming large amounts of high fructose corn syrup. And my backside just kept growing. Even though I would exercise, the girth of my hips stayed the same until I removed high fructose corn syrup from my diet. It's a dangerous chemical, and remember, our bodies don't know what to do with such foreign chemicals, so most of the time, they're stored in our fat cells, or new fat cells are created. And my cholesterol levels finally leveled out after I removed high fructose corn syrup and started eating more vegetables. So what I've learned during my journey, I want to share my knowledge and experience with you so that you can kick your sugar habit faster and with fewer struggles than I did. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, I want you to set an intention and a goal. This is what will drive you through your effort when things get tough. Yes, I said when, not if. When you remove sugar from your life, you'll probably experience a few withdrawal symptoms. It could be fatigue or headache. You get moody or poor concentration, but that'll only last a couple days. Your goal and your intention, together with the tools that you'll learn, are the things that will help pull you through instead of have you reaching for more sugar fixes. Okay, so please take a moment to visualize what your life will be like when you're no longer under the control of your sugar dependency. Will you lose weight? Will you have more energy? Better concentration and fewer mood swings? What would these benefits allow you to do? Are you facing any challenges, like a spouse who keeps buying sugary treats? Is there anything that's going to get in the way? Write about it and think about how you can correct it. For me, it cannot be in the house or I will eat it. I have a problem with the seafood diet. If I see it, I eat it. So when my husband comes home with a treat, like maybe some chocolates he received for Christmas, I make him take it to the office. I won't buy the sugary treats, but if it's in the house, I will most likely eat it, so it can't be here for me. So as I mentioned last week, the first step to making changes is to be aware of the problem. To cultivate awareness, I highly recommend that you keep writing in your food journal to observe how you feel after eating certain foods. Record how your digestive system reacts and your energy level for the next few hours, as well as how your mood and your ability to focus are being affected. A great free app for iPhone and Android users is a food journal called Meal Logger. Meal Logger, L-O-G-G-E-R. It's free. You take a photo of your food or you write down your meals. You can log in your exercise. And if you like, you can even share them with your trainer or even myself, and I can view them to see how well you're doing. It's a great free app. So for the next few days, tune into the impact of sugar on your overall well-being, including your physical wellness, your mental clarity, and your emotional balance. Notice what happens when you eat a lot of sugar. Do you feel hyper and then crash? Do you get moody or cranky? Do you crave more sugar even though you know you shouldn't be eating it and then you feel guilty afterwards? So this kind of mindfulness will help you build the awareness that you need to bring about some changes. It's a chance for you to get a handle on what you eat and drink so that you can take control of how you feel and think. Okay, before we dive into the strategies to reduce your sugar cravings, I want you to kind of know your enemy a little bit. So humans love sweet things. It's in our nature. Even before mankind started refining sugar, our ancestors sought out foods with sweet taste. Our caveman-like body is programmed to desire sweet taste because sugar and carbohydrates provide energy that our bodies need for our day-to-day activities. Sweet foods contain a high concentration of sugar, which means a lot of easily accessible energy. That is why sugar is so attractive to our caveman-like body. So what is sugar? It's a simple carb that occurs naturally in foods like grains and beans, vegetables, and fruits. When unprocessed, sugar contains vitamins and minerals, enzymes, and proteins. When brown rice or other whole grains are cooked, chewed, and digested, that natural carbohydrate breaks down uniformly into glucose molecules. And these molecules enter the bloodstream where they're burned smoothly and evenly and slowly, and you get a sustained stream of energy. However, when refined table sugar, also called sucrose, is very different. It's extracted from either sugarcane or beets, and then it's refined, stripped of its minerals and vitamins and fiber, and it actually requires extra effort from the body to digest it and assimilate it. The body must actually deplete its own store of minerals and enzymes to absorb sucrose properly. Therefore, instead of providing your body with nutrition, it actually creates deficiencies. And so, as this simple sugar enters your bloodstream quickly, it brings about a negative effect on our blood sugar level. First, it pushes it sky high, causing excitability, some nervous tension, hyperactivity, and then dropping it extremely low, causing fatigue, depression, weariness, and exhaustion. And most people are aware that their physical energy level fluctuates widely on a sugar-induced high, but they often don't realize that it comes with an emotional roller coaster, during which we feel elated and energetic for a while, and then suddenly we find ourselves tired and angry or depressed or maybe even aggressive. So if sugar causes us so much trouble, why are we still hooked? The reason is sugar is an addictive substance. Excuse me. Eating even a small amount creates a desire for more, and suddenly quitting causes withdrawal symptoms such as headaches and mood swings, cravings, and fatigue. It's so addictive. It's just like caffeine and alcohol because it creates a high in your brain. It's not just about willpower when you want to give it up. Your cravings have a physiological cause, and I'm going to teach you the tools to get to the root cause of your cravings and wing you off your intake gradually and painlessly. So why do we want to get off sugar? Well, besides the obvious fact that eating a lot of sugary foods causes us to gain weight, sugar has a lot of negative health impacts. It can suppress the immune system, weaken your eyesight, cause hypoglycemia, cause weight gain. It feeds cancer cells, exacerbates arthritis, contributes to osteoporosis, increases your cholesterol, leads to prostate and ovarian cancer, and contributes to the development of diabetes, speeds up your skin aging, increases fluid retention, causes poor concentration, leads to mood swings, depression. It's related to ADD, ADHD in both adults and children, and so on. So I hope this long laundry list of issues will give you enough reasons for you to take action. Today, sugar is found in many of the usual suspects, your cakes and cookies and candy, but you'll also find it in canned vegetables, baby food, cereal, peanut butter, bread, tomato sauce, and even cough syrup. It's often disguised in fancy languages and labeled as corn syrup, dextrose, maltose, glucose, or fructose. And I have a handout on the webpage called The Many Names of Sugar, and you can refer to that to do your own investigation. It really pays to flip that package over and read the ingredient list on the nutritional label so that you know what you're eating. Even so-called healthy foods contain a large amount of sugar. For example, a lemon poppy seed Clif bar has 21 grams of sugar, that's equivalent to 5 teaspoons. Compare that to a chocolate glazed cake donut from Dunkin' Donuts, which has 14 grams of sugar, or 3 teaspoons. And you may think your afternoon cup of coffee only has a little bit of sugar, but a 16-ounce Starbucks Frappuccino contains a whopping 44 grams of sugar, That's equivalent to 10 teaspoons. That's like eating 3 donuts. No wonder with the hidden sugar in this large quantity in our everyday foods, our society is faced with an explosion of hypoglycemia and type 2 diabetes. The other day I was browsing the yogurt aisle at the grocery store with all these yogurts marketed to kids. And I was surprised, not in a good way, to find that those flavored yogurts contain 8 grams of added sugar in these tiny little servings. And what frustrates me even more is how they're packaged and marketed as healthy foods for kids. So parents are buying these products thinking that they're good for their children without knowing that they're actually fueling their kids' behavioral issues with all that extra sugar. And speaking of children, fruit juices are another gotcha product. Although they might sound healthy and they could be labeled as all natural, they may not be as nutritious or good for you as they claim. Items labeled as juice drink or juice beverage may not even be 100% natural fruit juice. You can find sugar, corn syrup, and other flavorings added again and again, so it pays to read those labels. And even if the product is 100% fruit juice, they don't actually provide that much nutrient bang for your calorie buck. They're usually quite sweet and contain a comparable amount of calories to soft drinks. They don't have all the micronutrients and fiber that you get when you eat a piece of fruit. So I would just stick with the fresh fruit and steer away from all those calories and added sugar. A tip to help you and your kids wean off of fruit juices and other sugary drinks is to dilute it with some still or sparkling water. And that's how I got my kids off juice. We don't even have it in the house anymore. They haven't had juice in probably 2 years, and my children are 5 and 7. So we just started off with diluting it with a 1-to-1 ratio and just worked our way up with more water and less juice. Now I want to dive into the core of our program and share with you how to cut your sugar dependency. First, we need to understand the reason behind our sugar cravings. There are some deeper physiological and biological reasons behind our urges. I want to introduce you to the concept of the yin-yang balance. Eating foods that throw our body out of balance can create food cravings. The yin-yang balance is a concept grounded in how the energetics of food is regarded in Oriental medicine. We can put all our foods along the yin-yang spectrum. Yin foods are cool and expanding, while yang foods are warm and contracting in nature. And our body is very smart and is always striving for balance. So if you eat too much yin food, your body will create some yang food to balance it out, and vice versa. It seems to be okay, except in some of the extreme yin and extreme yang foods are not good for our health. Extreme yin foods are sugar, alcohol, chemicals, coffee, dairy, honey, and spices. Refined sugar is an extremely yin food. It causes an increase in serotonin level, followed by a rapid decline. And when the level of serotonin, which is our feel-good hormone, falls, we typically experience feelings of depression or low energy, anxiety, and loss of concentration. Most likely, our body will crave extreme yang foods to balance the equation. Oftentimes, we kind of overshoot and cause our body to crave yin foods to regain balance, and we find ourselves sort of ping-ponging between extreme yin and extreme yang foods, using one type of extreme food to alleviate the effect of the other. So some examples of extreme yang foods are sea salt, eggs, and red meat. So if we're eating a lot of these foods, and often the American diet is full of such salty and meaty foods, our body will want to balance their effect by creating the sugary, alcoholic yin foods. Now, yin foods also include leafy greens and whole grains, but unfortunately also include sugar and alcohol, which are in the more extreme end of the spectrum and therefore provide more immediate relief. I've included a handout on some yin-yang foods on the webpage so that you can see where you can balance yourself out there. So think about when you go to a bar and there's often those free salty peanuts and popcorn at the bar. These are very yang foods because there's a large amount of salt present. And when you eat a lot of salt, your body will crave something yin to balance it out. So you order more sugary alcoholic drinks. So perhaps armed with this knowledge, you can reduce your sugar cravings by eating less extreme yang foods and instead choose foods that are more neutral on the spectrum, like the whole grains and fish, sea vegetables, beans, root vegetables, and winter squash. To create that balance, we need to limit foods that are either too yin or too yang. Our bodies can take in certain quantity of extreme foods without creating too much imbalance, and this quantity is different for everyone. But when we exceed our personal limit, then you have the consequences. If you eat extreme foods daily, your body will become exhausted and depleted as it is frantically trying to rebalance itself day in and day out. So to get out of that cycle, you need to deconstruct what you are craving and seek out less extreme, healthy alternatives to satisfy your body. In the case of sugar, you may want to experiment with eating sea vegetables, root vegetables, winter squash, leafy green vegetables, local fruits, nuts, and seeds, and see if your cravings subside. So to understand your limit for extreme foods, you have to cultivate awareness and closely observe how your body reacts to food. You might need to keep a food journal at the beginning, but as you practice observing your reaction to food, this will become more intuitive and much easier as you go along. So in your supporting materials, you'll find some ideas of how to use sweet vegetables to curb your sugar cravings, as well as a few simple recipes. Sweet vegetables are very neutral on the yin-yang spectrum. They provide a gentle way to help your body maintain balance without getting too extreme. They're also very grounding in nature. Some examples of those are corn, carrots, onions, winter squashes, and yams. Excuse me. Include them in your meals and see if they help reduce your urge for dessert. One of my favorites is a mashed up sweet potato with a touch of real butter, a small drizzle of real maple syrup, not the antimonious stuff, and top it off with some toasted walnuts. It's like having dessert for dinner. I love it. Another tip, speaking of dessert, is cinnamon. Cinnamon helps regulate blood sugar levels. It also brings out the sweet flavor in foods. So sprinkle some on a baked apple or a pear, top it with chopped walnuts, and you've got a quick dessert without added sugar. I put it in my oatmeal. Some people I know put it in their coffee. You can also use herbs and spices to help control your cravings. Cinnamon, coriander, nutmeg, cloves, and cardamom all naturally sweeten your foods, and they can help curb your sugar cravings by satisfying your need for that sweet taste. I'm going to conclude this segment of our program with a mindset tip. And that is the 90-10 rule. Eat well and healthy 90% of the time and let yourself indulge without guilt 10% of the time. Don't beat yourself up if you slip, because that kind of guilt and beating yourself up doesn't help you stay on track. Allow yourself that 10%. Deprivation is not a sustainable way to make changes that last. You may be able to go cold turkey on your favorite foods for a couple of weeks, but what happens after your quote-unquote diet? And most people will binge or feel bad and give up, but allowing yourself to eat what you love or possibly finding a healthier substitute to satisfy your taste buds is how you make healthy changes that will bring you benefits for a long time to come. I like to treat myself with a small square of 70% dark chocolate. I also love these chocolate-covered raw cacao nibs. They're really good. And so that's my treat to myself every day. I just have a small square. It's so rich, the 70% chocolate, you really don't want to eat more, so that I'm able to keep that in the house and not scarf down a whole candy bar. So to sum up what we discussed in this segment, we talked about setting intentions and goals and the importance for cultivating awareness. And you can keep a journal to help get you started. We had a quick look at sugar and its negative impact on our health. And we talked about our first root cause for sugar craving, which is a yin-yang imbalance in what you can do to reduce your cravings. And then finally, we talked about herbs and spices to help us reduce sugar cravings and a mindset tip to help you keep on track. So to wrap up this first segment, I want you to write down three things that you want to change in the coming week that'll help you reduce your sugar cravings and bring you closer to a healthier lifestyle. Now our next segment is understanding the second root cause of sugar craving, which is fatigue. When we are tired or having low energy, we tend to look for a quick pick-me-up, and sugar gives our body that quick fix by spiking our blood sugar levels. Unfortunately, it also stimulates insulin production. And why is such a rush of insulin a problem? Well, insulin is a hormone that's produced by our pancreas to facilitate sugar to move from our bloodstream into our cells. When all the sugar enters our cells, leaving very little in our blood, we experience hypoglycemia and we crash. We get cranky, experience mood problems, and can get dizzy. Recent studies show that insulin fluctuation over a long period of time can cause a lot of ailments like metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, diabetes, and obesity. Since the need for quick energy is a major reason why people reach for sugar, I'm going to show you my three principles and a few tips on how to boost your energy so you're less tempted to go to the candy jar. When I work with my clients on increasing their energy, I use three principles. Number one, create sustained energy. Number two, nourish and strengthen your nervous system. And number three, reduce your body's toxic load. So for each of these principles, I'll tell you why it's important and what you can do. So number one, how to create sustained energy. Why would having sustained energy help you resist a sweet temptation? Well, when you have sustained and an even supply of energy, you'll be able to minimize your spikes and crashes in your blood sugar level and therefore your energy level. You minimize the chance of having a vicious cycle of eating sugar, crashing, and then reaching out for more sugar for a quick energy fix. You'll also be able to have better focus, improved concentration, and fewer mood problems. Here are a few tips to create a sustained flow of energy throughout the day. Eat meals with a low glycemic load. And a glycemic load, or GL in a nutshell, measures how fast the carbohydrates in your meal are broken down into simple sugar in your digestive system and absorbed into the blood through your intestinal wall. The higher the glycemic load of a meal, the faster the sugar rushes into the blood after ingestion, the more spikes and crashes result. So to create a meal of a low glycemic load, whole unprocessed foods like whole grains, vegetables, and beans are some good choices. They're high in fiber, which is particularly important because it reduces the speed at which the sugar is absorbed by the body. Also make sure you include a moderate amount of good fat and lean protein to slow down the absorption and increase your satisfaction. Eat foods that are rich in B vitamins, B as in boy, such as whole grains, wheat germ, and nutritional yeast. B vitamins are critical for the body's energy production. So if you experience low energy, or even those lesions that you can get around your mouth sometimes, and you see people with those, they need a supplementation of B vitamins. If you're taking a supplement, it's a good idea to take it in the morning too, because it boosts your energy all day long. You also want to avoid or decrease coffee and caffeinated beverages, which can oftentimes increase your sugar cravings by creating blood sugar fluctuations and exacerbating mood swings. You can explore coffee alternatives like black tea, green tea, white tea, and something called rooibos, which is an African redbush tea. And they actually sell a vanilla rooibos at Starbucks, so you can get it pretty much everywhere. All right, principle number two, nourish and strengthen your nervous system. Taking care of your nervous system can help restore and replenish your energy and help you stay focused without the caffeine jitters. You'll feel calm and relaxed so that you can get the rest you need, and getting enough rest and sleep is another important way to manage your sugar cravings. I encourage herbal teas such as chamomile, valerian, lemon balm, or oats. Number three, reduce your toxic load. So what does toxic load have to do with energy? Well, a lot. Our bodies need to spend energy to detoxify and process the environmental toxins that we put in our bodies, be it from our foods, from the water we drink, the air we breathe, or the products and chemicals that we use and put on our skin. When your body diverts the energy to processing those toxic substances, less energy will be available to do the things that matter, such as focusing on your work, or doing physical activities, or spending time with friends and family. Detoxing is such a big topic in of itself that module number six, knocking your tox off, is going to be all about toxins. But I'll share a few tips with you today to reduce your toxic load. Use foods and herbs to support your liver, kidney, and colon. Some examples are milk thistle, dandelion root, and yellow dock. But when you can't find those, just drinking a glass of warm water with the juice of half a lemon first thing in the morning is an easier way to support your liver health. I do this every morning when I get up. I just squeeze half a lemon in a glass and I drink it up. You can also try this cleansing juice recipe. 6 to 8 carrots, a couple of apples, organic apples, a beet, a knob of ginger, and a couple of lemons, and you run all those through the juicer and you're good to go. It's a great cleansing tonic. Carrots and apples support colon detoxing, and beet is great for lymphatic detox, and lemon supports the liver. And ginger is just a wonderful anti-inflammatory and, you know, great for people who are prone to getting sick a lot. Buy and eat organic foods as much as possible to reduce your exposure to pesticides and herbicides. So look up the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 on the Environmental Working Group's website. I've included a link in your handout today as well. But the Dirty Dozen is a list of the 12 most contaminated fruits and vegetables because of the way they are grown and then how much they're, I mean, like strawberries, for example, are sprayed with 54 different pesticides. That's why they're right up on top of this list. So buying those foods or getting the organic version is highly recommended. Studies have shown if you shop organic for just those 12 fruits and vegetables, you can reduce your toxic exposure to pesticides by as much as 80%. And there's the Clean 15, which is the least contaminated fruits and vegetables. Detoxifying your body regularly can help increase your energy level and reduce sugar cravings. There are a lot of detox programs and protocols out there, and not all of them are created equal. Some will give you dramatic results, such as rapid weight loss, but some of them aren't safe. And if you have not been detoxifying regularly and start out with an aggressive protocol without, you know, proper guidance and nutritional support, your body may be unable to handle all the toxins that will be released into your bloodstream, and you'll end up, some of them will end up being reabsorbed into your tissue, which will make your whole effort ineffective. A supervised detox is always recommended, especially if you're new to cleansing and detoxification. And if that's something you want to try this year, I usually launch my detox programs in the spring and the fall, April and October, respectively. So before we leave the topic of energy, I want you to think about three small changes that you can make to help you get more energy. Maybe it's switching out sugary cereal with oatmeal for breakfast, starting a few times a week, or maybe having some plain Greek yogurt with raw honey and cinnamon and raisins for dessert instead of ice cream. Or maybe you could just print out the Dirty Dozen list and keep it in your wallet for the next time when you shop for groceries. Write down your actions and make an intention to follow through with them. All right, now let's move on to the third root cause of sugar cravings, and that is stress. Stress is another big reason for sugar addiction. Stress hormones exacerbate sugar cravings because sugars and sweets stimulate our brain to feel good chemicals that created them. If you find yourself under stress and reaching for the sweets, just literally take a step back from the cookie jar, take a few deep breaths, get some oxygen into your brain, and get in touch with the reason that you're craving the sweets. As I mentioned earlier, you can use herbs like chamomile, valerian, and lemon balm to aid in relaxation. You can also try some of the stress reduction techniques I mentioned last week, like the 4, 7, and 8 breathing exercise. You can try yoga or stretching. Exercising every day is a great stress reducer. Journaling and unplugging from your devices at least 30 minutes a day can help. And sleep is very crucial here. When we're sleep deprived, our body secretes the stress hormone cortisol, which prompts us to reach for sweet foods. It also interferes with our metabolism and makes our body retain fat around the belly. That packs a triple whammy. So before we move on to the fourth root cause of sugar cravings, I want to share with you another mindset tip. When you face challenges in adapting the dietary and lifestyle changes for getting off sugar and wanting to just go back to the old familiar way of eating, ask yourself, what is costing you not to take action? And you need to go deep and think of not just the immediate consequences, but keep asking, then what? All right, now let's continue with the fourth root cause of sugar cravings, which is dehydration. When we crave sugar, it is usually our body being thirsty and not hungry. Most Americans are chronically dehydrated or underhydrated, and symptoms of dehydration can include migraines, headaches, tiredness, and digestive problems. In particular, when you feel tired or have a headache due to dehydration, you'll want a quick fix, and that most likely means you'll reach for sugary foods. So the next time you feel that urge, try drinking a glass of water and give yourself a few minutes and see what happens. The next root cause to sugar cravings that I want to explore with you is low protein intake, which can mask itself as a sugar craving. If you have a relatively low protein diet and you tend to feel fatigue easily, try increasing your protein intake or experiment with different types of protein in your diet. I find that the amino acid L-glutamine is a great supplement for those times when you're craving sugar. If you have adequate protein in your diet, you may want to look into assimilation and absorption, which can affect how your body can utilize the nutrient. I usually will take some digestive enzymes with my food because we produce more as we get, less enzymes as we get older. Besides meat and fish and milk, you can try some nuts and seeds or a good quality cheese in moderate amount, as well as eggs and yogurt and beans. And for the vegetarians, and particularly vegan, you need to pay more attention to food combinations so that you get a complete protein profile from various plant sources. A note here about nuts and seeds, they're also high in fat and therefore calories, so you want to eat them in moderation, but definitely don't avoid them. Soy, such as tofu, is another source of protein. However, I would caution against eating soy and other soy derivatives in large quantities because there have been some studies on the phytoestrogens and the effect on hormonal balance, and we just don't know enough information about soy yet. If you do want to eat it, I recommend you eat the organic version. And fermented soy is best, which is in the form of tamari, like soy sauce, tempeh, and miso. Sugar cravings can also be the body's way of telling us that we need certain nutrients besides protein, such as chromium or carbon, phosphorus, sulfur, and the amino acid tryptophan. I work with my clients on an individual basis to pinpoint what nutrients their body may be lacking and work on adding in foods that are rich in those nutrients. Chromium, for example, is vital to regulating carbohydrate metabolism. So it helps regulate blood sugar levels and prevents the spikes and crashes. People who have high tissue levels of chromium tend to have a lower incidence of diabetes. High tissue level of chromium is usually linked to better soil supplies and a less refined diet. So we can't do much about the soil our food is grown in, but we can definitely eat a less refined diet consisting of mainly whole foods. Reduced chromium absorption is related to aging, diets that are stressful to the digestive system, as well as refined flour and sugar intake. Excessive fat intake can also inhibit chromium absorption. Brewer's yeast is by far the best available source of chromium. About 2 tablespoons a day can supply most of our chromium needs. However, some people don't tolerate the yeast very well and find that it causes digestive discomfort or bloating. But if you can tolerate yeast, it's a great addition to your diet. It has a lot of nutrients and low calories and low fat. Following yeast and chromium concentration is beef, liver, whole wheat, rye, fresh chilies, oysters, onions, potatoes, tomatoes, wheat germ, green bell peppers, eggs, chicken, apples, butter, banana, and spinach. Organic potato skin is also particularly rich in this mineral. But if you eat whole grains and meat and shellfish and chicken, as well as a variety of vegetables in your diet, you should be able to get enough good supply of chromium. Phosphorus is vital to energy production and exchange. It combines with B vitamins to aid their functions in the body, which includes energy production. If we are deficient in phosphorus, we may run into problems with low energy and fatigue, which can prompt us to look for those quick fixes. Most protein foods are high in phosphorus, like meat and fish, chicken, turkey, milk, eggs, and cheese. So you can experiment with animal foods and see if they help control your sugar cravings. Phosphorus absorption can be decreased by the use of antacids, as well as too much iron, aluminum, or magnesium in our diet. And caffeine can cause increased phosphorus excretion by the kidneys. A little word of caution, most Americans do not have issues with phosphorus deficiency because it is so abundant in the typical American diet of meat and soft drinks. So if you consume a lot of those products, you probably don't have a phosphorus problem. The mineral also competes with calcium for absorption, and a high phosphorus to calcium ratio can lead to osteoporosis. Next up is sulfur. It's the single most critical element for the body's detoxification process. If our body cannot process and eliminate toxins efficiently, it will lead to low energy and, again, an urge for a quick fix from sugary foods. Sulfur is part of the amino acid that makes up insulin, which helps regulate carbohydrate metabolism and stable blood sugar levels that keeps our spikes and crashes at bay. It's also essential in estrogen metabolism. Maintaining a healthy estrogen balance can help reduce PMS symptoms and the resulting sugar cravings that a lot of women experience around that time of the month. Sulfur is also absorbed from the small intestine primarily as part of amino acids, which are the building blocks of the protein. And it's readily available in protein foods like meat, fish, poultry, eggs, milk, and legumes. Those are all good sources. Egg yolks are probably one of the best sources of sulfur. Other good sources are onions and garlic and cabbage, Brussels sprouts and kale and greens and kelp and other seaweeds. Nuts have some sulfur, as do raspberries. And vegans and people with low protein diets can be more prone to a deficiency of sulfur because of the of its presence, low presence in protein-rich foods. Next up is tryptophan, the amino acid people are usually associate with being in turkey that puts you to sleep. Tryptophan is the precursor to the neurotransmitter serotonin, which influences mood and sleep. You'll find it in animal foods, eggs, and dairy products, some nuts and seeds, and definitely in your turkey meat. So now we're going to talk about non-food related causes. Boredom and loneliness can often contribute to sugar cravings. When we lack emotional and spiritual support in our lives, we have a void, and sometimes we use food to fill that empty space. And sugar is easily accessible and comforting, and it's usually associated with some positive childhood memories that people want to bring back into their minds and revisit. And creamy, sugary foods such as ice cream are particularly comforting for a lot of people who might just really just need a hug. So to fill the emotional and spiritual void that can get us addicted to sugar, I want you to take a look at what nourishes your soul. Do you have a relationship that fulfills your needs? Do you have a spiritual practice that is nourishing for you? It doesn't have to be a religion. It can be a yoga practice or spending time in nature or doing whatever feeds your soul. Do you love the work that you do? Do you have a career that you enjoy? Do you feel what you're doing is meaningful and purposeful for you? Do you move your body in a loving way that's appropriate for your body type? Some people benefit more from that burst of like vigorous exercise, and others get a lot more out of endurance work. And some people prefer gentle movements such as yoga or walking. Soul nourishment is also something like hobbies or crafts, or as well as anything that feeds your soul that is not a food source. So many times my clients find that they were using food to fill a void that food cannot fill. So when you're craving ice cream, you may just need a hug or to be comforted. So when you have the urge for sugary foods, ask yourself if you're going to find the comfort that you want in a tub of ice cream. Even though the ice cream may satisfy your need at that moment, it's not going to leave you satisfied in the long run, and you'll end up feeling guilty. What you may really need is just some self-care, a soak in a hot tub, or a long walk in nature. Whatever it is, you want to ask, am I getting the nourishment for my life? And if not, am I using food to fill the void? As you cultivate this awareness, it will get easier for you to recognize what you really need. To address your need for soul nourishment and understanding its relationship with sugar cravings, I would like to invite you to create a nourishment menu for yourself. So this is a quick, fun, and useful self-discovery exercise. Put this little list on your fridge or your kitchen cabinet, or even your candy or your cookie jar, wherever you would go for your sweets, and add to your nourishment menu for yourself. Keep adding to the list and as you learn more about what meets your needs. Some ideas to get you started include connecting with others, calling friends or family, taking your dog out for a walk, or practicing yoga, or maybe even just working on a small craft project. Okay, we're near the end of the course, and I want to assure you, you have more than enough information and knowledge to win this battle. No matter how much information I give you, it doesn't happen overnight, nor does it happen by just reading. You have to take action. You need to get support, and maybe that's either with me or with friends or a family member, so that you can take meaningful action and get the positive changes to your life. There's a lot of handouts on the webpage this week. And also included with those is a 3-week sugar cleanse. So find a buddy, find some support, get on the Facebook group, and let me know how it goes. I encourage you to try all these options and let us all know how it goes this week. Good luck. You can do this. All right. Bye for now.